And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. What are you doing? What are you doing? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? Have you ever asked that to your kids? What are you doing? Also, we're going to look at the golden ticket. The golden ticket sounds like a Willy Wonka thing. Also, Kiss still lives. I'll explain it when I get there, and then we're going to close it out with Own It ASAP.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics just went out the building door, down to the left, over to the right. They're gone. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Never has been. Never will be. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Senator Jerry Moran wants a closed-door briefing on North Korea and soon.
The Kansas Republican senator tells a local radio station he wants a classified briefing in the next week or two, even if it means calling senators back to town from their August recess. Senator Moran says part of the classified briefing should detail the economic situation in North Korea, as well as potential military options and capabilities. In addition to Moran, Rhode Island Democratic Congressman David Cicilline is asking House Speaker Paul Ryan to call back the House to help de-escalate the situation. North Korea has been ramping up its nuclear threats against the U.S., prompting President Donald Trump to threaten what he terms fire and fury against the North. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Meanwhile, at another press conference today, President Trump was asked about his tweet saying the U.S. military was locked and loaded.
I think it's pretty obvious. We are looking at that very carefully. And I hope that they are going to fully understand the gravity of what I said. And what I said is what I mean.
As New Orleans waits for more thunderstorms and tries to fix a crippled municipal pumping system, Mayor Mitch Landrieu says a power turbine control panel that caught fire is back up and running. But he still warns people in the east bank of the city that they still need to be ready for possible flooding.
Out of the abundance of caution, I'm urging residents in the affected area to move their vehicles to higher ground and take necessary actions to protect their property. Stay off the roadways unless an emergency makes it absolutely for you to be on it.
The city flooded Saturday after a deluge. City officials initially insisted the pumps that move water out of the low-lying city were operating properly, but later acknowledged there were problems. Landrieu also said people would be able to get sandbags if they want to take the extra precaution of sandbagging their homes. On Wall Street, the Dow by 14 points to 21,858. The NASDAQ rose 40. The S&P advanced 3. Oil up to $48.82 a barrel. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
What types of things are you spending your time collecting?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Friday, August 11th.
I collect rocks, seashells, and I used to collect dolls. My sister doesn't really collect anything, and my mom doesn't. She collects nothing but jewelry and makeup.
Collecting can be a fun hobby. In 1950, Francis Johnson, a farmer in Minnesota, started a unique collection. He decided to make the biggest ball of twine in the world. He worked on this project for 4 hours a day, every day, for 29 years. When he was finished, his ball weighed 8.7 tons. Johnson's twisted monument is still proudly displayed in Darwin, Minnesota. But you know what? That ball of twine won't last forever. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies or maintaining collections, but I hope your greatest energy is being spent on the things of eternal value. One final thought. 1 Timothy 6:18 tells us to be rich in good works. Consider what kind of good works you could start collecting today. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I want to remind you about a couple things. If you want to, you're welcome to reach out to the show, David Spoon at kprz.com. That's one way to do it. Here's another way. You can wave. Hold on, I'm waving. Hello. Hello. Okay. David Spoon at kprz.com is probably the better method. You can probably get somewhere with that. Additionally, I do want to remind people, if you have heard some of the show before and you're like, hey, I'd like to see what some of the other topics are, we've covered a pretty good range. You can find that information at two different places. One, you can go to kprz.com, and there is a link for the podcasts on the KPRZ website. Also, davidspoon.com, there is a link there as well that we can give you access. I think we have... Well, it's definitely more than 1,100, but I don't think it's 1,200 yet in regards to shows. So there are a lot of topics, as many as one would go through, I guess, in a five-year period is one way to look at that. Also, don't forget, Church Disappointment, His Appointment. We had a very nice review the other day. We thought that was a great blessing, somebody reading it and recognizing, hey, sometimes it's challenging, but you got to just keep pushing forward. Because if you think that you are, you know, independent and by yourself versus depending on the Lord, you're going to find out it's all about the Lord. And it's all about your connection to the Lord. And if anything in this show helps you connect, then I'm definitely sensing that it's got the success that we were hoping it would have. Okay? All right. Here we go. This is going to be a classic. I think most people are familiar with the story. I'm not going to go too deep into the background, but we are going to talk about our favorite cow. Yes. No, not Elsie. No. We're going to talk about our favorite cow, Nebby. Nebby the cow. Daniel chapter 4, verse 20. The tree you saw. So what happened before I even get into this? So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel answers the dream. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are exalted to this great position. Guess what? Nebi has another dream. That's right. I called him Nebi. He has another dream. Nobody can figure it out. He tells Daniel. Daniel's going to tell him what the dream meant. Look out. Here's Daniel's response. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all. Your Majesty, you are that tree. Wow. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your Majesty saw a Holy One, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it. But leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. At this point, as Daniel is responding to the dream, it's really worth noting, especially in the book of Daniel. It's one of those books that people really do enjoy reading in the Old Testament because of the story element and the history element. Daniel is a little uncomfortable because of what is about to transpire. And what's about to transpire is that God gave Nebuchadnezzar, we'll call him Nebi when he's a cow, but when he's a person, gave him this massive kingdom, and in this massive kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar was going to think in his mind, I did this. This is my work. I did this. And God sends a dream to Nebuchadnezzar going, dude, you didn't do anything, and I'm going to show you how much you haven't done anything. I'm going to turn you into a cow. Now, there's people that go around and go, well, it's a wolf or it's a deer or it's this. It's a cow. It's one of the cattle out in the land. Well, he's got, you know, fingernails like a hawk. And that, okay, it's a cow. You're missing the point. It's a cow, and he's going to be eating grass. People can live off of eating grass, believe it or not. Like a wild animal for a long time, because Nebuchadnezzar walked through his kingdom and said, I built this. When you tell God you did it, it is the dumbest thing you could ever do. I just remember that whole process where in between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, you know, you didn't build this. The government built this. The government didn't build this. My own sweat and blood built this. You know, God gives the breath, which enables the person to go from a baby to a young adult, to accomplish anything. Nobody did anything that God didn't give them the ability to do. And Nebuchadnezzar, what are you doing? Daniel says to him, look, your majesty, please accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. Daniel's pleading with Nebuchadnezzar going, you don't understand what's about to happen. Nebuchadnezzar's probably thinking, I built this huge kingdom. I don't care. I'm the dude in charge. I'm the big man. Daniel chapter 4, verse 33. What had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven out from the people and ate grass like a beast. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Let's do it together. Let's Twilight Zone together for a second. Go back. Look at this exchange between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel goes, you're going to be out in the fields eating grass. You're not going to be the king who's in charge of anything. You're going to be like a dumb animal. Nebi's like, whatever. Within 12 months of that exchange, Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind and is driven out to eat grass by God. Okay, here is the moral of the story, because this goes on for a while. The moral of the story is, after a certain amount of time passes, God restores the reason and the reasoning process that Nebuchadnezzar had, he lets the light bulb go off, kind of like the prodigal son when he comes to his mind and he goes, what am I doing? Well, that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar realizes what's going on. And while he's out there, he goes, okay, God is in charge. God is in charge of the affairs of men. God is in charge of the affairs of people, individuals, groups, families. God's in charge of the kingdoms. God's in charge. God's in charge. God's in charge. Well, how did you figure that out? Because for 7 years, I've been eating grass like a dumb animal because I didn't give the acknowledgement to God. The results of Nebuchadnezzar's inaction drove him to be a beast. Now you think, well, that's excessive. That's in the Bible for a reason. Those 66 books, 39 and 27, that's not by a fluke. That story is in Scripture for you and I to look at and go, yeah, I don't want to go down that road. So when you are going through your process of life, and when you're feeling like you have done, step back. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and you did nothing without the grace of God allowing you to do it. You owe God everything. We talk about this all the time. I know people on the television, no, I did this, I did this, I did this. Only God allowed the technology to advance. Don't you understand that? Only God allowed you to get past the age of one day. The whole key is to understand that what we are doing when we are being defiant and prideful is setting ourselves up and acting like beasts who eat grass. When we come back, we're going to look at two kings going through the similar travel with different results. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze of Ecola Termite and Pest Control, but you can call me the Termite Lady.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son and manager at Ecola. Mom, I know how much you love providing true value for our customers' homes, and I'm proud to announce that we are now providing tap insulation.
Talk about value. You're right, Tyson. Now Ecola can offer pest control that basically pays for itself with 20 to 30% energy savings. Tap is a recycled paper product that kills pests while reducing energy bills, providing a warmer home in the winter and a cooler home in the summer. Ask about tap insulation by calling 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS.
Tap is an absolute no-brainer and a real value for anyone who wants to eliminate insects in their home while lowering utility bills.
That's why you should call Ecola Termite and Pest Control today, 877-332-BUGS, or online at termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
877-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Political correctness is so ingrained in our culture that objectivity and reason is inconsequential. This is Jim Garlow. Be careful not to use language or behavior that may offend someone. So the destruction of a child in the womb is a woman exercising her right to choose. Marriage is considered love, a love relationship between any combination of a couple, men or women or whatever. A thug is now called behaviorally challenged. One group forcing another to use concocted terms obscures reality and purposely creates confusion. Forget any objective dealing with real issues. The users of PC tactics typically hate biblical truth, traditional morality, sexual restraint, personal responsibility, or any other concept based on unchanging truth revealed by an almighty God for our individual and society's good. We can't allow ourselves to be coerced into doing nothing and saying nothing. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Maybe you're looking for some verses to describe your life, huh? Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Try these on from the 7th chapter of Romans. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very things that I hate. for I know that nothing good dwells in me. My friend, you've got plenty of company if that's your testimony. And we'd be miserable if that were the end of the story. But listen to the first verse of the very next chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a great thing. What a great relief. What joyful hope.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Want to encourage you to check out KPRZ.com. Don't forget CrazyPriceMall.com, where you get a 50% discount on services and different goods. What is it? Goods and services. Services and goods. Something like that. And then additionally, on our website, KPRZ.com, you have that opportunity to get the half-price tuitions, which we highly encourage if you're looking to get into private Christian education. Time is getting tight, so that's all we can say on that. You're going to have to move on it as quickly as possible if you want to get a discount for private Christian education. That's for people that have never done it before and are looking for an opportunity to get their children in that and out of the public format of education. Up to the parents. Parents need to make that choice. That's right. Parents need to make that choice. That's right. Parents need to bear the responsibility. All right. So we just talked about Nebuchadnezzar. And I call him Nebi when I think of him as a cow. You think, well, that's disrespectful. He was a cow. I'm not looking to give respect to a cow. When he was Nebuchadnezzar as the king, that's kind of a different story. And the reason that that took place is because he didn't respond, he didn't yield, he didn't take on the responsibility that he owned, or that he should have owned, that he had some things that he was doing, saying, and functioning in that were not acceptable to the Lord. And because he just ignored it and pretended it meant nothing, the Lord zapped him. Bam! Well, now I want to look at this from another angle, and this would be two kings from Israel in the Old Testament again. Let's start with Saul. We're going to talk about Saul and David. Got to do it in a tight time frame, so I'll do my best. The situation with Saul was pretty simple. 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 31. Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Ooh, that's not good. Then Saul said to Samuel, I violated the Lord's command because I was afraid of the men. So I gave in to them. Look at what it was that was motivating Saul. He was fearful of the people around him. He was like, I didn't want to disappoint them. Well, guess what? That cost you the kingdom. That idea, that mindset, that our need to appease people is absolutely opening us up to getting deeply wounded in life. Instead of thinking that I should do what the Lord says, he was like, well, I want everybody to think I'm cool. I want everybody to think I was hip. At the end of this exchange, listen again to what Saul says after Samuel challenges him and says, you know, this is not good. Saul replied, okay, I've sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So first, he's like, well, I didn't obey God because I was trying to impress these people. And after Samuel goes, what are you doing? You have this opportunity to be the king and to have a dynasty. And then it's like, it's going to be taken away from you. Then you know what Saul says? Well, come back and worship me with me so I don't look bad. Who cares if you look bad? Don't you want to do what God wants you to do the best you can? Well, that's what you do. Like it or not. If somebody doesn't like it, tough. Who cares? When King David was confronted with his problem, what was his problem? Well, most people know. Uriah the Hittite's wife, David slept with her inappropriately. She got pregnant. Then David coordinated the execution of Uriah. People go, well, he didn't murder him. He put him on the front lines and had the army withdraw. That's murder. What are you, crazy? Paul was a murderer too. Don't get all bent out of shape. And so in this understanding, David is confronted with his sin. Nathan says, this is 2 Samuel 12:7. Nathan said to David, you are the man. 2 Samuel 12:13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. The difference between David and Saul was concerned about his reputation, his men, how people would see him, how the elders would see him, how people would think of him. David was like, oh, man, I blew this with God. I blew it. I did it wrong. I've done a bunch of things wrong my whole life. I think between now and the time the Lord comes or the trumpet blows for me personally, I think I'll do a whole bunch of more wrong things. Not intentionally. I just think I'll do them. Guess what? I'll own it because I'll own it the best I can. Maybe I should say it that way because I might not do it perfect, but I don't want to be, well, I want to do it this way so that I can be impressive to other people. It's like, I know, who cares? Who cares? Then nobody else has a heaven to put you in. This is where the worldly system kind of beats down on the church a little and the church kind of conforms. It's amazing that if the non-Christian media say to the church, well, how can you say that you're a Christian? The church tries to respond and justify to those that don't even have the Spirit of God in them. It's actually quite shameful. The apostles, by the way, did not do that. The early church did not do that, even to the point of sacrificing their lives. Now the church is like, well, we got a PR person, and we're going to deal with this head on. You know, we don't mean everything that we say. It's like, what are you doing? So when the Lord, as there's a confrontation or something goes on, just okay, here's the golden ticket. Ready? Here's how you get into the Wonka factory. You go, yep, I did it, and I sinned against God first and foremost, and I'm wrong. And that's it. You might have to go to other people, and you might have to apologize. You might have to get those things straight. Fine. But it starts with God. Because he's the one that when you create that offense, he's the one where you create that sin, he's the one that's got a place that you go to that's good or bad. You square it with your maker first. And if the elders of the community and the people and the army men and then everybody else around you are like swaying you into one direction, just follow God. Because if you follow people, you can end up in a disaster. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Just because somebody else is doing doesn't mean you. I mean, I'll give my mom and dad credit. Just because somebody else jumps off a bridge doesn't mean you need to jump. That's what they used to say to us. I know other parents have said that to their kids. Here's the difference between David and Saul. Saul cared about how he looked before people, and David cared about how he offended God. If you live that way, even if you have tensions and problems, even if you have disagreements, fine. As long as you're trying to do it before the Lord, that part's fine. But not for people. Remember, certain people in the New Testament, John chapter 12, would not acknowledge Jesus Christ because they didn't want people in the temple to know that they believed. So because they didn't want people to know that they believed, they didn't confess Jesus. Huh. I don't know. I'm going to go on a limb. That's dumb. The golden ticket is to own it and to bring it before the Lord and to genuinely repent from it and not to worry about what other people think about it. They're not going to save you. Only God can. Taking a short break, come back with the next segment. Going to blow your mind. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. That sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching, from a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business. San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. One benefit of God's Word is that it teaches undiscerning, ignorant, and gullible people like us profound truth that we can apply to our lives. The psalmist understood that when he wrote, "Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts." Paul also applied that principle when he prayed that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. I hope you're learning God's Word each day. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Doggy. Love these kind of shows because it's so challenging. It's not just challenging for me to share it with you. It challenges me, and I need to be challenged all the time. It's like, wow. Gosh, I do that terrible. What are we talking about? Talking about Nebuchadnezzar when he did not take ownership of his action, how in his pride and arrogance, God turned him into a cow. It's the most famous cow actually in the world. Even more than Elsie the cow is Nebi the cow. And how that the Lord has given you and I the golden ticket telling us how we need to respond and react if the Lord confronts us with something or if we're challenged with something. What's the best way to respond? What's the best way to deal with it? In King Saul's case, He was more concerned and fearful of the men that were serving him and how the elders felt about him. In King David's case, he was more concerned about how God felt about it. So which one do you think is correct? Hello. That doesn't take a lot. And so now we're going to get into this next section, and this is where people are going to have a little bit of a hard time because of the title I gave it. I call it Kiss Still Lives. You're thinking, why? Are you talking about that rock and roll band? No. Not talking about that. Let's understand what I'm talking about when we say Kiss Still Lives. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Isn't that a weird switch right there? Faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Those that have less faith or minimum faith are worse than those that breach faith. Verse 12, go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. One, I'd never want to hear a prophet say any of that, ever. I'm serious. I was like, oh, that's not good. Two, look at what is said. It's not even overly complex. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. So the Lord asks you and I not to always, and I think in the mindset we think this, but always produce these works of righteousness that make us seem not as bad or something like that. It's like, that's not even in play. What's in play is that the Lord wants you and I to go, yeah, I did it. Yes, I'm wrong. You know, when Jesus came and his first message, which of course you never hear on ever in the media, Jesus' first message was repent. John the Baptist's first message was repent. Peter's first message from the church point of view was repent. That's the call for all of us. God's like, hey, you got to acknowledge what's going on here. I like what Dr. Jeffers says. He's not the first person to say it, but he says it a little better than most people. But in essence, he's like, yeah, that's good news is the most important element in existence. But you still have to know the bad news in order to get to the good news. It's like, yep, that's right. So there's this acknowledgement that the Lord is looking for from us. And that's why I said KISS still lives. And you're like, KISS still lives? How does that work? Because KISS also stands for keep it simple, stupid. Like, this is not overly complex. It's like, yeah, acknowledge it. Just acknowledge. I mean, it's the wisest thing that we can do is own it as soon as it is dropped on our doorstep. Eat the pie, eat it quickly, and live. Are you caught up in a relationship that you shouldn't be in? Well, the Lord wants you to acknowledge that and stop it. That's enough. Are you caught up in a spirit that's contrary to, you know, just people? Like, cut it out. The universe doesn't revolve around you. Doesn't revolve around me. Doesn't revolve around KPRZ. Doesn't revolve around San Diego. Doesn't revolve around California. Doesn't revolve around the United States. Doesn't revolve around the earth. The universe revolves around God. So there's this element where we need to kind of, okay, just to acknowledge it. And you're thinking, well, I know, but, you know, I'm forgiven. Hey, look, we talked about this the other day. Active sin still sucks it out of you, takes your strength, takes your insight, quenches the Holy Spirit, disturbs the fellowship between you and God. There's no point trying to get around it theologically. That's what happens. I was like, okay. Well, I don't understand all the theology. I don't think any person on the planet except for Jesus understands all the theology. Peter didn't even understand Paul's writings. And he hung out with Jesus for 3 years, for crying out loud. There's a sense where you go, oh, okay, I get it. Only that the Lord wants us to do. Just acknowledge it. Yeah, all right. So you think of somebody like the Apostle Paul, because there's this tremendous argument that people will have about Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, saying that, you know, chapter 6, 7, and 8, 6 is the losing position of man, 7 is that the sinful, and 8's the redemption, and that's what Paul was talking about. He wasn't talking about himself when he said, I can do no good. It's ironic that people would say that, because Paul said in Romans 7, I can't do any good, but said the same thing in 1 Timothy 1. He said, 1 Timothy 1:15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And people will say, well, that was Paul's past. Yeah, except he didn't use I was the worst. He used I am the worst. This is not about Paul going, you know, I'm looking at my past. Oh, what a mess. What it's about is Paul now getting closer, and before he was Saul, then he becomes Paul. The Lord, his name has changed. He becomes closer and closer and closer to God. Guess what happens when you get closer to God? This is a real kind of interesting element. The closer you get to God genuinely, the more you realize how sinful you are. In the beginning, it was a little cooler because you could kind of unload the burden off your back and kind of dump it down and go, okay, I'm forgiven. But as you get closer and closer and closer to God, you begin to understand, wow, there was a lot more sin there than I thought. I'm a lot more messed up than I was giving myself credit for. There's a lot more dysfunction going on than I would acknowledge. Like, ooh. But that's the thing. And if it's genuine, and I'm just being honest, in one sense, you know you're not the worst sinner. In one sense, like in that general sense. But there's this other part of you, if you're a Christian, that you're thinking, yeah, but the Lord has given me so many breaks. He's given me this and this and this. I should know better. Yeah, you're right. You should. And I should too. And everybody should. That's the genuineness of our faith. It's like, yeah. Gosh, I feel like I'm the worst. Who doesn't know better? And then we're not even diving into secret sins. I'm not even talking about that. We're just talking about the surface stuff. And already just on the surface stuff, I feel like the worst guy. Take me down into the next thing. Be like, whoa. Right? Just confess it. Acknowledge it. That doesn't mean you go on the street corner and take a bullhorn and tell everybody what your sins are. That's not what God asks you to do. But he does ask you and I to acknowledge it. Hey, look, you're doing this. You got to cut this out. Remember the woman? Anybody condemn you? No. Well, okay, fine. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I mean, the whole point is sin no more. It's like, that's enough. Cut it out. Acknowledge it. If you own it, if you eat it, that's why I say eat it as quickly as you can. It's like eating humble pie. Just eat it. Eat it as fast as you can. I don't care what you got to do to get it down. Just eat it. Because that puts you in a better standing with God. Now, what's amazing is when we come back, we're going to go over this one psalm. Let's talk about 1 John for a sec when we come back. But then this one psalm, it'll show you how not confessing takes the life out of you. Wow. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back.
I'm not where I belong. Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Do you happen to know what termites hate? Termites hate heat. So when it gets blistering hot outside, guess where they go? That's right, into your nice, cool house. They ought to be sending you thank you notes. However, my friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady, owner of Ecola, has a patented process called Ecola Heat that turns the tables on termites and kills them. Yes. And Sue, this is just one of your family-friendly alternative methods of killing termites?
That's right, Dave. We use mostly natural, non-toxic solutions that can be more convenient and less costly, along with traditional methods. Call us today for a free inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating termites in your home and keep them away. First-time customers get $100 off.
Call Ecola, 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS, or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly.
Not for escrows.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Many people go to great lengths to ensure that people speak well of them. But Jesus offered a contrary thought about reputations. He said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." He was referring to a time in Israel's history when false prophets had great reputations. Our first concern in life is not reputation, but character. Character is essentially our reputation in God's eyes. If God approves our character, then there will be some in this world who will not and will speak ill of us. Many spoke ill of Jesus, so at least we will be in his good company if it happens to us. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God measures character on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com, you can smile right now outside, but I will not see it because I am in a studio in La Jolla. That's how that works. We want you to be aware that there is opportunity to touch base with different events. Go to KPRZ.com. Great way to do it. And don't forget the KPRZ app, which is free on the smartphone that you have, which is a lot smarter than I am and probably a lot smarter than you are, too. We've been talking about owning our wrongs, specifically first before the Lord. We illustrated that through Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't take ownership and found out that Elsie is not the only one named Cal. We found out also the right ticket, the golden ticket to take, by understanding that King Saul, when he heard that he was doing wrong, was more concerned about people thought and what about the elders thought about him than anything else. And King David, when he found out he did wrong, was apologizing and repenting before God, because that's the place where it starts. And then we just spent this last segment talking about the idea that KISS still lives, KISS being keep it simple, stupid. You shouldn't say stupid as a Christian host on radio. Okay, but I did. And here's what God said. He said only, verse 13 of Jeremiah 3, only acknowledge your guilt. So he said, hey, eat the pie, eat it quickly. Like Paul mentioned, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the worst. That's how a lot of us feel. The good news is that if we confess it, you know, it's like, you know what takes place. 1 John 1:7-9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. You got sin in you, and the truth is not in us. Now, there's nothing wrong with me, except you're deceived. So that's a problem. That's a big problem. However, if we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all righteousness. Somebody asked me recently, does that have anything to do with believers? Or is that just the first time the gospel is presented? The letter is to his dear children, and notice in the text he says, if we confess our sins, this is the Apostle John, not if you. So yeah, that's all of us. But here's the other part about this. We're going to kind of wind it down with Psalm 32. But I want you to recognize, if you confess your sins, done. You don't have to sit there and wallow in the mire. If you confess it, done. If you're sincere, done. It's over. Done. You don't have to sit there and take a hammer and smack your head. That's not what's required in Scripture. Acknowledge it before God and be sincere. That's what's required. Listen to this in Psalm 32. I do want to point out a couple things. Super, duper, duper fascinating. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. For those that don't know, this is the same verse, one verse later, that says, you are my hiding place. David is talking about sin that's in his life. And when the Lord doesn't count sin against you, so that you understand how righteousness works and how it works from Romans chapter 3, chapter 4, and Galatians 3, 4, 5, and 6, God ultimately does not count your sin against you. You don't attain enough righteousness to be good with God. He has to clear the slate for you to be good with God. You don't reach up to his level. He wipes out your bad stuff. That's the definition of righteousness according to King David and the Apostle Paul, as we understand theology and Scripture. But David brings up this point. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. It was like my strength was sapped in the heat of summer. That's talking about a really hot day where you're doing stuff, and all of a sudden you got no strength left. Well, that's what sin does. And then he said, I'm going to acknowledge my sin and not cover up my iniquity. Now, the Lord wasn't looking for David to write out a whole paper. He wasn't looking for him to write a book about it. He wrote a psalm about it, but he wasn't looking for him to do it. He just, God wanted him to go, yep, I'm doing it. It's wrong. I'm asking you to help me. And what happens when he confesses the transgression? God forgives him. This isn't, okay, now jump through this hoop and light this candle and jump up and down and throw these beads over here. Hey, if you confess your sins, God forgives you, redeems you, strengthens you. That's the key. Just acknowledge it. Okay, yeah, I'm wrong about that. And sometimes I think it's healthy to say, if I don't understand it and I'm doing it wrong, I'm sorry too. I mean, it's just being honest about it. It's not always going to be perfect. Just like relationships with people are not perfect, your relationship with God is not perfect. It's just not his fault. It's our fault. We're the ones who mess up. If he's got something that the Holy Spirit's been challenging you in, just respond. It's like, whatever. That why keep it? Why have your strength sapped? Why have it be the hand of God heavy on you as opposed to lifting you up? Better that God should pick you up than push you down, right? I mean, come on. Think about it. If you've got something going on between you and the Lord and the Lord's brought it to your attention, own it. Confess it and move on and let it go. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break, then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.